Welcome to Problem Corner, more than just a radio show. It's a community forum, a marketplace, and a platform for dialogue on the issues that matter most to the people of Juneau and Southeast Alaska. This is a space where your voice can be heard, whether you're celebrating, selling, or seeking solutions. Just go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and add your comments, suggestions, or leave a message. Now, here's your host, Wade Bryson.
Well, good morning, good morning. Hello, and welcome to Problem Corner. Thanks for joining me today. And we've got a couple of things, fun things to talk about here on Problem Corner. I'm going to start off talking a little bit about the cruise industry in CLIA. There was a little confusion on marine passenger fees, and I'm hoping to bring some clarity to that situation. We're going to talk with Jordan Lewis today, and I do believe he's got a little update on some of the crime that's been taking place here in the community. We're going to talk about the icebreaker coming to town, some new adult toys. You're going to want to stick around for that one. And I think that we're going to finish the show off with the CBJ budget update, as we are in CBJ budget season. And you know that when the weather gets really nice, we're not allowed to have a CBJ finance meeting unless the weather is nice. And I'll follow up a little bit more as we're talking about the budget. So the big thing this week, the cruise lines have come back. The cruise ships are here. You saw a big one this week, and it was one of the earliest ones we've ever seen, April 9th, pretty early in the season, although they might have gotten a little bit good weather here or there. I get it. April, it's spring. It's you can have some nice weather here in Southeast Alaska. I've always understood coming a little bit early because the month of April is just usually not like it is this weekend with snow, but that 55 sunny weekend, we get the Mother's Day flower sale and plant sale, so you know we're in good springtime. And so I absolutely can understand why people would want to come see Alaska in the early spring. The one thing I don't understand is the extending the season into the late fall. I think we might have a ship all the way on October 20th. And I kind of want to reach out to all those people that have booked a cruise ship or a cruise ticket to go to Juneau on October 20th and let them know, hey, you might want to pick a better time period. I just don't know that I can advocate for a good experience during mid to late October here in Juneau. It's just going to be cold, wet, and dark. And imagine trying to do an outdoor activity like kayaking or river float trip, gold panning, any of those activities, mountain biking, as they have a lot of bike activities. Maybe it's good for the restaurants. I don't know. I'm sure that will get shaped out as time goes on. The one thing that I did want to let you guys know is that the city manager, Manager Kester, and the director, the tourism director, Alex Pierce, were at a Miami cruise industry conference this week, where they were having direct conversations with the ownership or the leadership of CLIA. The latest conversation is voluntary day limits. Ooh, I know that's a big one, really scary topic, but they're having the conversation from the perspective of what could a voluntary compliance daily limit cap look like through the eyes of the cruise industry. And so having that voluntary conversation, I think, is going to go way, way better than if they tried to, either side tried to force their will upon the other. So as we have these voluntary agreements, it's going to be better for the community. But a realistic cap is part of the conversation right now. And how we get to that is what they're discussing. A good example is the voluntary five-ship limit that this 24 summer will be the first year that it's implemented. And that was voluntary voluntary compliance on behalf of the cruise industry. There was no law that said they had to stick to the 5-ship limit, but they said they would agree to it. And I tell you that because there was this particular Thursday that 14 ships wanted to come to Juneau on one particular Thursday. And so these voluntary restrictions have real world implications. And I think Alex Pierce said it best. We're trying to make 1.5 million people feel like 1 million people. Well, that's a good strategy, and I think that's a great approach. And I do want to remind folks that while the gondola is not going to cross the channel and become the second crossing or the North Douglas crossing, they, if you see how that April 1st, April Fool's joke, we are not doing a gondola across the channel. But when the gondola is operational, we are going to see a significant amount of tourists not staying in the downtown corridor, making it feel congested. There are already summertime activities that will be taking place this summer up at Eagle Crest. And those are not CBJ run organizations. Those are locally owned organizations that contract with Eagle Crest and they pay a lease fee, or I don't know exactly how it's set up, but these private organizations use the Eagle Crest Mountain, and then they pay Eagle Crest a fee from that through some lease program. But more summer activity is taking place at Eagle Crest. And you think, what do I care? I don't use Eagle Crest that much or at all, and I might not ever go up there during the summer. Well, the more Eagle Crest can have summer operations, the less annual subsidy Eagle Crest will require. And so the more things that are taking place at Eagle Crest, the more self-sustaining that it could become or that it will become. And so it's the trend of like all ski resorts to utilize their resort for summer operations. It's what all the big players are doing. They recognize that your ski season is only going to be so long. If you have a summer season, then you're just having more operational days. And the difference that we could be looking at is right now Eagle Crest is between 70 and 80 operational days a year. And by increasing and doing summer operations, they go up to over 200 operational days a year. It's closer to 250 operational days. And so that's a big deal when you're talking about the viability and the sustainability of Eagle Crest. If Eagle Crest subsidy, the amount of taxpayer money that Eagle Crest requires to stay open, if that number kept growing every year, eventually Eagle Crest wouldn't be solvent and we wouldn't be able to continue operating it. But because we're forward thinking and the Eagle Crest has a phenomenal board that's thinking of Eagle Crest's future, they are in helping move in this direction. And I know I've shared this before, but I think this is a great example. Eagle Crest has a special place in so many Juneau hearts. The stories of how people had either their wedding, their funeral service, up at Eagle Crest, and just recently the assembly voted to approve a bequeathment. Somebody passed away and they left their life savings to the Eagle Crest Foundation or to Eagle Crest. So Eagle Crest had such a special place in their heart that that was their benefactor when that person passed. And I can't think of another city entity that is so special that people want it to be remembered even after they're gone. So yay for Eagle Crest. Yay for the summer operations. And if you got a little excited about thinking of a gondola crossing at North Douglas. Take a deep breath. We'll just do a bridge there, or a little road across, second crossing, North Douglas crossing, and we'll leave the gondola up at Eagle Crest, and they will have local rates. All right. If you've got 2 cents on either the CLIA industry concerns about how Juno Spin and Marine passenger fees or something along those lines, how could Juno be a better steward of handling the cruise industry? And before I go, I want to just remind everybody of this one detail. The visitor industry is composed of two completely separate entities, and they're completely separate. There's the billion-dollar cruise industry that has billions of dollars, and they build mega ships, 4,000 passengers. That's the cruise industry. And then there's the tourism industry, and all of those are locally operated. They're locally owned. No giant organization or multinational company owns the tours. Those are all locally owned here in Juneau. So when we talk about the visitor industry, we're really talking about two completely different entities that share the same customer, the visitor. So how can we benefit both the local operators, the locals, and the visitors in an appropriate fashion? And if you have better answers than what we're using now, then by all means, give them to us. Hey, I'm going to go ahead and take that first break here. Go ahead and if you're thinking of it right now, send me an email, KINYradio.com. Click the Prom Corner link. That'll shoot right over here. And I'll be right back with more Prom Corner on KINY. All right. Welcome back to... And in the Prom Corner studio with me right now, it's got to be my favorite person to have come and join me at Prom Corner. Jordan Lewis, everybody. News behind the news. I can't hype you up any more than that.
You know, I don't think I need to be, really. All right. I mean, the news is interesting. It's fun, but I don't think I'm super, super cool.
All right. But I was hyped when I heard your voice out in the hallway. So I'm glad to have you in here. Jordan, what's the news behind the news right now, man?
Well, wait, as I'm sure you're aware, last week we saw a pretty significant drug bust here locally. That was CCAD served two different search warrants, which was following up on an investigation that began back in January. Now, the actual totals for what was seized was approximately 17,000 fentanyl pills, 94 grams of methamphetamine.
17,000 pills.
Yes, and there's more. 0.2 grams of fentanyl powder, 3 grams of cocaine, $23,000 cash, 3 pistols, 1 AR-15 style pistol, and a disassembled AK-47. Total estimated street value combined is $341,000.
Wow. Think of how much Juno property would have had to have been stolen for the users to buy $300,000 worth of drugs. That is an insane amount of drugs. And then, did you say cocaine?
Yep, there was a little bit of cocaine in there, about 3 grams of cocaine. The bigger one there is the 94 grams of meth.
94 grams of meth, that sounds bad, but you said 17,000 fentanyl pills. Isn't a fentanyl pill something that kills people?
It can, yes. It does routinely. With, you know, and then I think that's a well-known fact recently that it is quite dangerous.
That's more than, I mean, that's like better than 50% of our population could each have. I mean, that's an insane amount.
No, it definitely is. And the thing that would raise the concern for me is not just the amount of things that would have to be stolen in order for that to be purchased. It's how is that all getting into town? Thing A, if it's not coming.
Oh, come on. Every single person knows that the ferry system is the drug highway of Alaska. I don't want, oh, did I just say that out loud? My bad. But if they put all the drugs on the ferry to come up to Alaska, I mean, maybe one day they'll figure that out, or law enforcement will.
It's going to consistently either be the ferry system or
the barge.
The barge.
Because you can just put something and ship it up to yourself, make it look brand new. Sure, why not?
And then you still people who figure out how to do it on airplanes. You got to factor that in too. It may not have been a big thing here locally, but that's going to be a known factor. Airlines are always going to play a role.
Okay. Well, the good news is we busted the last batch. So that just makes me about as happy as can be.
That is a good thing to see out there.
All right. What other kind of news behind the news? I know you got something a little bit more lighthearted for me.
I usually have some more lighthearted things. Well, obviously, it's Folk Fest this week.
Folk Fest. How many people are coming to town? 5,000 or something is what I heard?
I think it's something about that. I know we had like 30 different artists that are in town this week.
That's awesome. And that is in addition to all of the Juno musicians that are already here in town, because we have no shortage of musicians in town.
That is true. Actually, our production director here at the studio is in a band. I know he's performing for Folk Fest this week.
Very good. Is he wearing his pajama outfit?
I would imagine so. It would fit with the band name. So.
All right. All right. Well, that's great to hear. So welcome if you're listening to this and joining us for Folk Festival. I hope you have a grand week here in town. All right, Mr. Lewis, any last tidbits of news that you'd like to share with us?
Well, cruise season has officially begun. The first ship came in earlier this week.
And we've been chatting about that a little bit. The cruise line agencies the cruise industry is never giving us anything. Never short of topics to talk about. That's what I'm trying to spit out.
That is very true.
All right. The news behind the news. Jordan Lewis, everybody. Jordan, good to see you, buddy.
Good to see you, too.
All right. That's Jordan Lewis, everyone, keeping us filled in on the news behind the news. All right. Hey, remember, you can send me an email and participate in Problem Corner. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link, and that will send your Problem Corner email right over here. And speaking of giant ships in port in Juneau, what about... All right. Speaking of big ships in the downtown area of Juneau, I wanted to mention the Juneau Icebreaker. Now, if you hadn't heard, and I know I've talked about this before, the Juneau Icebreaker has received or has been allocated in the congressional funding package that there will be money to purchase an icebreaker. The uplands or infrastructure money is not attached to that because they knew it would take a couple of years to get everything over here. Bruce asked the question, when Juneau's icebreaker is in port, will it be docked downtown? Will any significant infrastructure need to be built to accommodate its berthing downtown? And Bruce, the question or the answer is yes and yes. So that's the somewhat good news is that they will work with the city of Juneau to have an appropriate icebreaker port facility, and that's the uplands infrastructure component that I was mentioning that will be included when all is said and done. I wanted to say the whole package was around $400 million, and the first one was like $175 million for the icebreaker and to begin design development for the port downtown. So Bruce, I hope that answers your question. Right now, so far so good. It is looked to be scheduled to be berthed downtown. What did I hear? 200 Juneau families is what it could bring to town. And so along with making sure the appropriate ice port or icebreaker docking facility is available down there. The city of Juneau is doing things like making sure that housing is still moving forward so that there's a appropriate level of housing to accommodate 200 additional families. We're working on childcare. I've not made it a secret that my intention is to put childcare in the Floyd Dryden school as it becomes available next year because 200 new families is going to require additional child care. And if you've paid attention to that, you know that we're already short child care spaces here. And the Floyd Dryden sixth grade wing is just begging to have child care located in it. You'd be able to put child care in there with like the least amount of remodeling necessary. It's a good setup over there. So yes, the icebreaker is definitely going to be talked about and will be worked on over the next year or two. It was going to be a little bit of time before we do see that up here. But in government, something doesn't become real until it has money allocated to it. And the good news that I have for you is that Congress has allocated the money for this particular icebreaker, and the discussion is no longer where do we put it, just how do we get it here, and what do we need to do to make it to make Juno accommodating for that icebreaker ship. Yeah, I think that is the update on the icebreaker. I hope that answered your question, Brett, Bruce. All right, and if you have a question for Problem Corner, it's really easy. Go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and it'll shoot it right over here. And then when I'm recording the Problem Corner weekly show, I can address your questions. Again, that's KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and who knows? You'll probably hear your question being answered on the next Problem Corner show. So thanks for paying attention and doing that. All right. I'm going to go ahead and take the commercial break here. When I come back, I'm going to talk about adult toys. And I promise it's not what you think. When I said that to the last person, they definitely got the answer wrong. So we're going to cover a couple of adult toys. When we get back with this commercial break, with more action on Problem Corner here on KINY. Welcome back to Problem Corner. Before the break, I mentioned that we're going to be talking about adult toys. And I said that to Lisa, and she said adult sex toys. And I'm like, Lisa, no, I'm talking about like power drills and all kinds of like power equipment. And I had just gotten back from the grand opening of AIH. You probably heard Mike Lane over there yesterday. But oh my gosh, they have all of the adult toys that I love. I got a battery powered heat gun. Goes with my DeWalt tools. So, I mean, everybody, you can use a heat gun for a variety of things, especially in the winter when you're trying to unfreeze something. And so the DeWalt guy was there. I got a coupon, popped my battery in that, and bam, I had a battery powered heat gun to go along with my battery powered nail driver. And I've got a Brad nailer, and man, that is just one of my favorite things about adult toys. You can get some really cool stuff. And one of the other neat items that I'd gotten from that new shop, a thermal imager that plugs into your phone. So I plug this into the bottom of my iPhone and turn it on, and it turns my phone into a thermal imager. One of my favorite toys. And so when I think of adult toys, I think of power drills and power nail guns. And man, they had all kinds of tools there. And so I was pretty excited to see an adult toy store. You know, from ropes and straps to power tools to chainsaws. Those are the adult toys that I can play with. And they sound like a lot of fun and become practical and useful. I've built one or two things using my stuff. So if you love adult toys, and I'm talking about like construction equipment and battery-powered, I was about to say battery-powered toys, but we're still on the wrong track there. The power tools that have the battery functions now, there's just so many that just used to not exist. You can get a battery-powered lawnmower these days. And if you didn't want to, like, if you want to use a battery or an electric lawnmower, they have that stuff. And so I was pretty excited to see the large variety of adult toys that, or tools. Maybe we can put tools there, adult tools. But so many times they become toys, and I don't think anybody can pick up a power drill and not squeeze the trigger twice, right? So if you haven't gone to check that out, find the DeWalt guy. He did give me a $50 off coupon that made it easy to go buy my electric battery-powered heat gun, my new toy of the day. I wonder if my wife's listening. I didn't buy any toys, honey, if you're listening. That wasn't me. All right. Hey, I do have somebody that wanted to have a phone call with us here. I'm going to go to the phones. Well, good morning, sir. Welcome to Problem Corner. I only have one question. What's your problem?
Well, I guess we could lump it all into one problem.
Let's do it.
And I would say that that's the folks that are anti-everything. You know, I have this, or they're just disparage others for no good reason. I call them cave people, you know, it stands for citizens against virtually everything.
Oh, I've heard that before, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, we got some things going on right now where I'm really disappointed in people. You know, I'm just really disappointed. You know, for example, those folks were down protesting on the dock the other morning when the first cruise ship showed up.
Well, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, and you know, it's not those tourists' fault.
Not even close.
At one point or another. If those folks want to protest, why don't they just go protest in front of the cruise ship's office or wherever? You know what I'm saying.
I mean, yes.
What they're doing right there, that was grandstanding for no good purpose, and it harmed people who didn't deserve it. So I was really disappointed in that, and I hope they realize that, every person I've talked to was pretty disgusted with it. I mean, maybe I run in the wrong circles, but I have a pretty diverse group of acquaintances and friends. In fact, I have a lot of friends that can't be in the same room with each other because their viewpoints are so divergent. But I love them all, right?
You must be talking about some of my friends, all right.
But, you know, you got to love them, and, you know, they're all at least half right. I mean, it's just, you just got to listen to the other side and figure out, you know, where can we make this work? And some of these people just don't want to make it work. You know, they just don't want it to work at all. You know, our North Douglas Crossing, that's another one that really discourages me. I mean, we got a contingent of people who are lobbying to stop that, or they're saying, well, you just put it at Salmon Creek, and then it's completely off the refuge. And at the last meeting we were at, I said, well, you do realize you're putting that right below a 110-year-old dam.
It doesn't even consider all the commercial property that they go through. That Salmon Creek is like...
And wipe out the only other barge landing in Juneau. So the
yeah, it's not a good idea there.
Right into there are several people leading that charge that have a personal interest, you know, and they're putting their personal interest ahead of the community's interest.
And then that's absolutely happening.
Yeah, and we have people that just lobby against it completely, like SEAC, for example. You know, a year or two ago, their clean water campaign manager wrote an article in The Empire, and he just said, well, we don't even need that crossing because Juneau's dying, so there's no point in building anything.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going, boy, isn't that an uplifting statement? Yeah, that's a message to send to our young children.
So the anti-developers fight so hard to prevent development, which causes the town to have less economic viability, and then champion that? I don't know if that's the right direction.
And, you know, those are the same people that scream the loudest when they can't find somebody to come fix their roof or fix their furnace. You know, it's like, well, guess what? And when somebody does show up, they usually look like me with gray hair.
That is a trend that every trade is having to face and fight that issue right now. The school districts have not encouraged people to join the trades. They've only advocated for the 4-year degrees, and we saw what that got us. Giant high college student loans and a vacancy in the trades where somebody could go, instead of going to a 4-year college, they could go earn money for 4 years learning any of those trades and come out with a job better than most with no debt. I mean, it just seems like a good idea.
You know, if they would go through the union apprenticeship programs, they usually start out making 15 to 20 bucks an hour while they're being trained.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah. And by the time they're done, they're making $40, $50, $60 an hour. Some of them even more.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty amazing. But, yeah, I think the word is getting out. We'll see. But I've read some interesting articles in a couple of these economic newsletters I get where those trends are becoming apparent, you know, and college enrollments are down and the the polls they take about what do you think is important, and more people now are thinking a trade school is more important than a college education. So I think it's starting to resonate with folks.
Well, here's the...
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I got a novel idea. Since colleges know that their enrollment is down because their prices have gone up and people don't have as much money, you're going to see a drop in college students. But the trade industries absolutely are hiring people. Why couldn't we use the colleges to train the tradesmen? And so if the colleges want to increase their population – teach the stuff that needs to be taught. I don't know. It's kind of crazy.
Those professors in the tasseled robes are recoiling horrors. They hear you say that. You know, they it would make them look like a community college, for God's sakes.
Oh, we don't want that.
But you know, I'm glad you brought the school system up, because that's one that just recently got my goat here. Is when I find out that we have some people circulating a petition to recall the school board president and one of the members. And I thought, now how misguided is this? They are making a 15-year-old problem, these folks who just came on board a few years ago, their fault.
Oh, yeah, no, they might have had something to do with it. They were not the main perpetrators by any stretch of the imagination.
No, and one of them has been saying for several years, we've got to consolidate. We've got to get ready to make some hard decisions.
Yep.
You know? And it's, you know, if people wanted to assess blame, they could go way back. They could go way back.
Oh, no, I got list of names. I've been requested to not share them.
Yeah, I'm not going to name names, but if we go back to the prior superintendent, I'm going to give that person a half of a pass because they were dealing with a pandemic. So maybe they weren't paying attention to the numbers and relying on their help more than they should have.
That's a pretty good assessment of what happened. They had a lot of trust, and it was not warranted.
So that last finance director needs to be publicly flogged or whatever, sure.
They're gone.
But, they are, right. But we're paying the price, right?
That's the truth.
And that school board, you know, over the last 7 years or whatever, you know, they were kicking the can down the road. But really, go back to the prior superintendent, because that superintendent and that school board are the ones that got us into this. That superintendent was not forthright with numbers, and I could go on and...
That's a whole other,
Yes, about how that person misrepresented things in public meetings. But yes, that superintendent and those school board members 15 years ago chose to ignore the hard data that was already out there. And I was part of that group that lobbied against the second school and said, here are your enrollment numbers. Here is where you're going to be. Next year, you'll already lose these classes by dividing the faculty and the students.
Oh, sure.
And then with a few more years, you'll lose the rest of these classes because of scheduling problems. There won't be enough kids to take the classes, so you'll get a pass on having to offer them because you won't get enough enrollment, right?
There you go.
They ignored it.
Yep.
So, but what I was going to say is you can go back one more step, and that's, you know, when that downtown contingent lobbied so hard to remodel J.D. High, don't get me wrong.
Oh, I know.
We did a magnificent job on that. Volkers and Company, their design was perfect, and Coogan's did a magnificent job of building it. No complaints there, but, you know, if we'd have just let it go and built a big new school out in the valley for all the kids to go to, things would have been so much simpler.
Oh, I know.
So
well, hindsight's always 20/20, but I tell you what, that's our time. Thanks for chatting with me here on Problem Corner today. You have a great rest of your day.
Well, and I hope people can learn to be more positive about things.
All right. Positivity.
That's my message. Yep.
All right. We'll take it. That's a great message. We'll be more positive today. Hey, thanks for that.
All right. Take care, Wade.
All right. You too, sir. All right, I want to thank Dave for taking the time to chat with us. I'll be right back with the rest of Problem Corner on KINY. All right, welcome back to Problem Corner. If you're listening to this and you'd like to participate in Problem Corner, it's really easy. Go to KINYradio.com, click the Problem Corner link, and that'll shoot your ad right over here. This young lady is looking for someone to help clean her place, and she's hoping that somebody needs some extra income. And then Mary went on to say that the tram is an excellent place to see the real Alaska, even for the locals. When I used to work there, they had amazing entertainment. It was never announced. One year, they had a Chinese school kid choir. So cool. Another time, they had Mrs. Alaska up there for a photo shoot. You can see clear up and down the channel. You can see the channel to the airport. It's a great way to walk up the Mount Roberts tram, and they have great food at the restaurant. And that's Mary's 2 cents on Juneau. And if you can help clean her place, she has a couple of projects like cleaning the fridge. If you are a cleaner and you can help Mary out, she's located in Douglas, 957-8813, 957-8813, and you can go help Mary do her cleaning projects, earn a little bit of extra cash. And if you have a need like that, you're looking for maybe some day laborers to come and work for you, you need help with a project, you need to help hire somebody, send me an email, KINYradio.com, click the Prom Corner link, and that will send your email right over here, and we'll be able to get you participating in Problem Corner or maybe find you the help that you're looking for. Mary, thank you for that email. So last Saturday, we had the CBJ budget introductory meeting. 8 hours of budget discussion that covered the high-level overview of what CBJ's budget would be looking like next year, or this fiscal year 25, and what decisions are we going to have to make? And last year, I know property tax is really big on everybody's mind because it impacts everyone. Are you a homeowner? You're impacted by property tax. Are you a renter? You're absolutely impacted by property tax. Are you a business owner or you work in a business, you're impacted by property taxes. There's no way to get away from it. It's every building that you go into has property tax on it, with maybe a very few exceptions. So last year, we had the pandemic inflation has raised the cost of housing across the planet. Juneau is not the only city that had costs go really high. It's just a fact of life these days. And we get people that complain, I'm going to go to another city. And my answer is, when you find the city that wasn't impacted by inflation, let me know, because I'm going to go there and make some investments. It's just every place was impacted by inflation. So last year, the CBJ mill rate was 10.17, and that was the lowest mill rate in the 50 years of recorded mill rate history. We were on track to have another mill rate of 10.17. We would have been there this year. The city manager had done, Manager Kester had done a great job at holding the line and not having any increases. And so we would have continued to have that lowest rate. But then the Juneau School District gave us back 3 buildings. And one of the buildings was the worst condition building that they had, Marie Drake. It was in the needed the most renovations. It makes it a difficult discussion because it has a gymnasium and a planetarium in it, but it would cost as much to build a new school as it would to renovate the school. So what do we do with that? The proposed mill rate by the manager is 10.32, and I believe that added the 0.16 mill rate. So maybe it was 10.16 to 10.32. That extra 0.16 is the additional taxes that are now required to deal with the 3 buildings that the Juneau School District gave to us. So while you're not directly impacted by the school district's lack of budget oversight, when they blew their budget, we all pay for it. So I wish I had a better answer for you on that one. But that is another way that the school board's lack of control over the budget is now impacting the city in even another way. We already use tax money to help make them whole. I guess, well, they're not quite whole, but help them get to the point where they could like stay open and not bounce teachers' checks. That impacted you. But then them giving us three buildings that we don't have immediate need for, that's the other way that we're having to pay higher prices for the school board. I want to, again, separate those. School district, not bad. School district teachers, they're great. No complaints. School board in charge of budget did not stay on top of it. They blew their blew through their budget and were over by like $9 million and $9 million 2 years in a row. So school board, yes, you're okay to be frustrated with them. School district, Frank Hauser, superintendent, he's the guy that's fixing this. He was given the mess and he's fixing it. So school district, don't be upset with them. School board, yeah, do whatever you guys say, whatever you need to say to them. So I hope that separates that out. That is how the CBJ budget is being impacted in that way. The rest of the area, it is we held the line, not trying to increase things. The one thing that we will let you know, though, is that the request for services, the things that CBJ does, that has gone up. And so part of the discussion that we will be having towards the end of finance season is the community grants. The things like JEDC asking for a community grant so that they could have projects that benefit the or help grow the business community. SHI has an ask in to help with their facility and their programs that generate millions of dollars of money to come into the city and into the school district. There's a couple of housing projects that are requesting city funds, a 51-bed treatment facility. And a treatment facility is actually the last piece of the puzzle of having really good treatment services here in Juneau. So that's on the list of community ask. There is a nonprofit cooperative affordable housing acquisition group. It's a horrible name. It's too hard to say. We're calling it the Amy Skillbread Project, and they're trying to use subsidies to create actual affordable housing. Everybody always says affordable housing, but when you really look at it, if it costs $300 a square foot to build housing, it costs $300 per square foot to build housing. The only way you get affordable housing is when you subsidize it, either through the building process or when you're actually talking about like money exchanging hands, you can subsidize it in that way. But housing cost what housing cost. You can't change the price of a 2x4, and you can't change the price of the labor to install that 2x4. And so the only way that you can really have affordable housing is through subsidies. And so those are two of the things that are on the list. There's a variety of them from AEYC that has requests. It's a handful of them. And this isn't something new. The community grant requests have happened every year. We just have a little more formalized process. So that way these groups had to go through an assembly member to be able to get their project on the pending list is essentially what they were able to do. All right. We are going to be studying the CBJ budget as it takes place over the month of April and the month of May. And we have hopefully have it passed before we get to June. And again, the best thing about finance season is it means that you guys get really nice weather whenever we're inside talking about finance. I think we put it into CBJ code. So the sun is legally required to come out when we're discussing finances. So maybe a little sarcasm in there. All right. Well, hey, I want to thank everybody for calling in and tuning in to hanging out with me here today on Problem Corner. If you've got comments on any of these topics that we've brought up today, send me an email right now. Go to KINYradio.com, click on the Problem Corner link. That will send your email right over here. Thank you for listening to the Problem Corner show today, and send me an email next time you get a chance. And remember, on Problem Corner, there are no such thing as problems, just solutions we've yet to discover. Have a great rest of the day. I'm Wade. I'm out of here.
You've been listening to Problem Corner, a production of KINY Radio. Listen every Saturday morning at 9 or subscribe everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts.